fine, fine. Dance around with your daughter. It's a little bit closer. Yeah, my little pretty, 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 moving your body like a water. Like a fish, I'ma catch you like a culture. I'm not gonna let you get away. You know that I need ya. Searching the world just to see ya. Up and I see you go. Why you want to go? Oh, do you mind? If I put my hands around your waist, I'm gonna let you go. Hey mama, hey papa, do you mind if I dance around with your daughter? It's a little bit closer. Up on the show, making my move on my mission. Hey girl, there's no competition. You know that you're coming my way now. My inner money, baby, let's get out of here. I'm living my time to spend. I'm loving the way that you move, and I'm loving the way that you move. Oh, now, oh. Hey mama, hey papa, if I dance around with your daughter, it's a little bit closer. Emma, is it not pretty, pretty, my love? Oh, yeah, hey. Hey, mama, hey, papa, stop it in my day, stop it in my day, suki, 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 paru.
You're tuned in listening to Dharma Radio on Planet FM. Ko Kumau Puka, and I'll be your host for the next hour. So buckle up, fasten your seatbelt. We're in for Tala Noma Ali. I got Joseph Liava with me in the studio. Man, Joseph, in my mind, he's so many things, man. I've known him for a number of years, and we get along. Not just on a work level, but also we have become, you know, pretty good mates outside of work. Well, that's what I think. I hope he thinks the same. Wait, let me look at him. That's good. See if he's laughing. That's good. Okay. Yeah, it's awesome to also see Sifa on the weekend too. Tell you here. Good work. God works in mysterious ways. Believe that. Also, if I may say, I'm so thankful to my mum, Fale, for allowing me to host today's show, you know. I've always been in the background, regardless, but I actually live in Rarotonga now, Cook Islands. My beautiful, beautiful loving wife is from the Cook Islands. And she always wanted us to live there, but I held us back as I wanted. Well, I needed, at the time anyway, I had dreams and goals I wanted to pursue here in New Zealand. Unfinished business. Anyways, we've been living in Rarotonga for 3 years now. 3 years. Where has the time gone? Gee, time flies, and I tell you, it's one of the best moves we have made going back to the islands. My wife and our kids are loving it, you know. We don't have much material things, but that's okay, that's okay. I got my family, we live in a small humble house. Cold running water, leaky roof, but that's irrelevant. We have never been so happy and free. We're thriving, man. If you know what I mean, the kids play all day, beach, outside, plantation. For me, personally, it's not all about, you know, chasing that money and reaching high positions. Well, it could be. In fact, that would be awesome. One thing I have had a lot of, like heaps and heaps of in the islands, in fact, it seems like I've had too much of it. It's time. Yep. Time, man. More time for my kids, more time for my wife. So much time, in fact. It almost seems like one can control time if you put your mind to it, you know? Island time. Suppose what I'm saying will only make sense if you actually go all in and move back to the islands. No turning back. Burn your ship. So yes, as I was saying, I'm very grateful for Mum, Pale, as she has given me the opportunity to be a part of this small, humble community radio show. Been running 5 years now, just. Put a lot of our time and effort into delivering the best we can, week in, week out. Reaching out to the right people, like my man here, and organizations that are willing to share what they do and how they can help, or even sharing how we can do things better. I admire these people. They have come on here to share. And not just that, what they do day in, day out for our communities. It's a brave and courageous thing to do. We can't pay them to come on our show. We don't even get paid for this. It's something my mum has always done. That's how I know my mum. Always helping others, putting others first. And I seem to be following in their footsteps. Well, at Te Amo, our purpose is to help improve the health of our Pacific population here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Play our part, albeit a small part in the wider scheme of things. Nevertheless, we were still playing our part to the best of our abilities and budget. So thank you, Mum. I know you've got a lot on your plate at the moment with family, our family, church and work. But that's how I've always known Mum. We grew up in Grey Lynn. My brothers and I were born and raised in Grey Lynn. And my mum was always helping out our local community, even back then in the early 80s. Maybe she was doing the same thing in the 60s and 70s, way before we were all born. I remember from a very young age, I was 6 or 7 years of age, she would help people, especially the youth, learn how to use and type on the typewriter at our church, Grey Lynn. Yeah, the Grey Lynn PIC church. I remember she would travel to Wellington quite regularly to Parliament for briefings, meetings, and I remember crying all the time when she left. Yeah, and our home was always full of people, family and friends, friends of friends, friends of family. Good times for us young ones, my brothers and I, our cousins. And looking back now, it must have been very tough all those years. My parents looking after all these people, our families and friends, also the ones from the motherland, back in the islands. It would have taken a massive toll on my parents, financially and emotionally. I know. Not enough money, not enough floor space in our house to sleep. But hey, that's how we do it. Don't get me wrong, there were and are a lot of families in the same situation. But you know, we always do the best we can for our loved ones. Family is everything, man. That is everything. Everything different to how palangis are. Very different. Like oil and water different. We never turn away family that comes to us. That's how it was. That's how it is. I even remember a couple of times when I was quite young. Mum would take me to meetings. Long as ones too. And one time I met David Longy. I just remember him smiling and laughing. So in a funny way, I suppose, it was only a matter of time before Mum got me into this line of work. Well, I wouldn't even call it work. I've come to enjoy it, enjoy what I do, serving our communities, helping raise awareness around issues and what have you, affecting our Pacific people, trying to embrace the holistic approach principles. I love it, man. You know, I'm so blessed to have met some amazing, genuine people who have the same heart and vision to uplift our people. These people I've met, it's amazing. What a blessing, I tell you. Whether they just starting out, or as a mental health promoter, or even a CEO of an NGO, or a Pacific organization conducting groundbreaking research into how we as Pacific peoples can improve ourselves, understand ourselves better, or even our people sitting at the round table in government making decisions that will affect all of us. I guess what I'm saying is there are some people, a lot of our people, who are just as passionate and work just as hard to achieve our vision. The same vision as we all do have. As our tangata whenua say, he aha te mea nui o te ao. He tangata, he tangata, he tangata. Let me say that again. He aha te mea nui o te ao. He tangata, he tangata, he tangata. So back to what I was saying before. In 2009, Mame and Alo, Dr. Siale Foliaki, another Tongan brother I have a lot of time and respect for, They approached me if I wanted to be a part of a new public awareness program to increase social inclusion and end discrimination towards people with the experience of mental illness or distress. This program was called Like Minds, Like Mine. So when they presented the opportunity to me to be a part of it, I asked them to give me some time to think about it. So I thought about it, weighed it up, and yeah, I said no. The reason being is I was enjoying what I was doing at the time. I was driving trucks all over the North Island. I got to get out and, man, see our beautiful country and get paid to do so. To cut a long story short, Mum approached me again, I think 2011, 2012. And gave me an ultimatum. She says to me, come and help me deliver this program all over Auckland. So yeah, we did. We did presentations and had Talanoa's conversations with so many churches, government organizations, NGOs, schools, businesses, workplaces. It was hard work, man, but worth it. And I still keep in touch with a lot of these people that I met through the Like Minds program. What a blessing, the work these beautiful souls are doing to serve our communities. God is good. All the time, God is good. Okay? So much to talk about, reflect on, and anticipate what may come. But there's a time for that. We're going to relax, listen to some music, and when we come back, we'll get back on track. We'll be having a talanoa with Joseph Liava'a. See what he's been up to, what he's proud to have achieved thus far, what challenges he's had, and his hopes for the future. We'll be sitting down having a dala dala no malo au pito. Welcome back to Dharma Radio. Well, I am honoured to have Joseph here in the studio with me, and before I bring him on, I'd like to provide a little snapshot, just a little snapshot of who this man is. Joseph, he is a very proud Tongan and started his career as a lawyer for the Ministry of Consumer Affairs, during which time he advocated for stricter controls around loan sharks, as well as gave legal advice on Pacific Radio. And that's a huge thing for us, eh? I mean, we didn't even have money to begin with. Okay, let me carry on. For the last 8 years, he has worked as the community liaison for a network of GP clinics, East Tamaki Healthcare, which has over 75,000 enrolled PI patients. It must be the whole of South Auckland. and is the chair of Waiola PI Budgeting Service in Mangere, former chair of Otara Health Charitable Trust, and currently sits on the board of Consumer New Zealand. Next week, he will be starting as the interim chief executive at Ōtaro Health. Where he will continue advocating for better outcomes for the community. He is very lucky to be married. He is very lucky to be married to Lorraine. They have a 7-year-old girl,
Blair,
and a 4-year-old boy, Riley. In saying that, welcome to the show, Sifa. How are you, my man?
Hey, Maloni, I'm very well, and it's really good to see you again, Melimele. We hadn't seen each other for a long time. Managed to bump into each other on a Saturday night in the city. But, you know, we can assure the audiences, neither of us were drinking. We were
Looking out for each other.
Looking out for everyone else. Our crowd. But, yeah, it's great to have you back, man. It sounds like you've never stepped away from the microphone, brother.
Thank you, Joseph. You know, as you know, I was really quite nervous before coming in here, but you've... you know how put me at ease a lot, man. Thank you, bro. Joseph, there's so much we can talk about, you know, with this little profile that I've read out. But first, can we start off with your upbringing? You know how were born and raised, and how it was for you.
Okay. Well, it's probably not an uncommon story of upbringing. Sorry, you know, my parents came over from Tonga. My dad came from Hawakatolo, which is a small village out in the bush in Hihifo. He came over on a school scholarship to go to school at Auckland Grammar. He was extremely bright, but also a good sportsman. So. That was really the genesis of our New Zealand story, really. Dad getting that scholarship to come to Auckland Grammar. Mum came over at a different time. She came over to study as well. And they both met, I think, around 1970. Got married and had five of us and adopted another. But, you know, Dad was a cop. Mum is still a primary school teacher. So, listening to your story, Melimele, about how your mum used to take you to community meetings, the long, boring ones that just talk. Well, I'm doing the same. I did the same with my parents, and I'm doing the same to my kids. I always encourage them to bring a book or some colouring pens when they come to work with Dad, because these meetings can be long and... I know they sound... I shouldn't really say that. These meetings can be long and interesting for adults, but very boring for young people. But, you know, it's that... whatever that seed your mother was trying to plant in you, that my dad planted and my parents planted in me, I'm trying to plant the same in my kids, because, like you mentioned, it's not about money. You can't take any of that with you. We go out the same way we come in, with nothing. So it's better to, you know, fill your life and your time helping other people who can't, I'm not going to say necessarily help themselves, but, you know, people, we also always hear the term under low income or high needs, but I prefer to call those communities underrepresented communities, because they are poorly represented as opposed to other richer communities, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's kind of a little bit about why we're sitting here today.
Man, that's all. So your old man went to Auckland Grammar, and I believe you went to...
Yeah,
the same school?
You know, just, you know, I came from Mangere Intermediate. My brothers and my cousins, we all came from South Auckland, all caught the South Auckland buses into Grammar, because we were lucky that our dads had gone there. And I think, you know, those schools, if you're the son of a former pupil, you're getting a lot easier.
Yeah.
But also, if you're the son of sports stars... you know, you get in straight away, and you know they saw me. They thought this guy can play rugby like his dad. I disappointed everyone with my lack of sporting prowess. Lucky for me, I really enjoyed school, and that's where I kind of found my niche.
Beauty. So in terms of your schooling, you're quite focused on it. You put the time and effort into it. Where did that lead you?
Yeah. Well, look. My parents, you know, like a lot of island parents, education they knew was the only pathway out of, you know, the streets. So that was always planted in us as kids, and I really loved competing in the school, in the classroom, especially against my mostly European classmates. And you know, I did all right, but you know, like a lot of young people, you know, I had some issues I went through as a teenager, and I actually dropped out of school in the fifth form. Spent most of part of the fifth form and all of the sixth form away from school, and really, I just spent that time kind of, you know, mucking around, drinking. I wasn't living at home at the time, so...
You're only fifth form? Sixth form?
Yeah, 15, 16.
Damn.
You know, so I kind of... I actually, you know, gave up on school for a little bit, but somehow, you know, some adults who didn't even know me, they kind of kept me on the straight and narrow, kept things open for me. I managed to re-engage with school, but... you know, I was a heavy drinker at that stage, so I wasn't really interested. It wasn't until I quit drinking completely about 15 years ago that, you know, my marks went from pretty average to back to pretty good.
So tell me, man, I'm still trying to process what you just shared with us. That's you've had some real tough times as a teenager, Sifa. Proud of you, the way you dealt with it, but can you share with me what did you focus on in terms of your tertiary studies?
I always wanted to be a pilot when I was younger. Actually, I started off as an astronaut, then a pilot. But then in the mid-80s, there were all these, you know, terrorist hijackings and that, I think, in the Middle East. So Dad said, look, maybe you should become an accountant. So then I thought, ooh, accountant. So, you know, my life's dream was to become an accountant. I went to university like that. But like I said, I mucked around so much. I actually got kicked out of university after 2 years for not passing enough papers.
So you didn't learn from high school?
No. You know, I was one of those guys, I didn't have to study, I could just pass. Which, you know, I'd never encourage anyone to do because that's really silly. But yeah, so when I got to university, mucked around, kicked out for a bit, and then I followed this girl down to Otago University. And while I was down there, she was a smart girl. She got rid of me because I was just holding her back. Very clever. And while I was down there, I started doing law, as a paper to do. But when I started doing it, I realised, man, there's something in this. I quite enjoyed... You know, there's that aspect of standing up for what's right, for, you know, looking for the search for the truth, you know, helping people. And I realized that that's what the law could give you. Still, I didn't learn my lesson. I quit after that, quit after another couple of years, and I started working as a bouncer at a strip club in King's Cross, Australia. That was 2000. So, you know, another breakdown in my education journey. But, you know, I was learning a whole bunch of other things, not the things that people that are listening might be thinking, but, you know, I learned a lot about how to kind of read people, how to protect myself,
Only learn that or know that when you're out there working on the streets.
Unfortunately, that's the best
reality
way
of
to learn. You know, I did that for a few years. Went to my wife. I met her in Sydney, and she pulled me away from that lifestyle. When we got back to New Zealand in 2003, we got married. And I was working on the wharf. You know, it was barely minimum wage. Very dangerous job.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, and while I was there, my wife looked at me and said, "Look, we can't raise a family. We can't do anything on your wharf wages. Why don't you go back to school and finish your degrees? I'll support us, and you go do that." And by that time, you know, I must admit, I had no confidence. I wasn't, you know, school was the furthest thing from my mind. You know, I wasn't even in that frame of mind. But luckily, I took her advice. I kind of argued my way back into law school, really. And then, you know, just quit drinking. And, you know, I went from B minus average to back to an A plus average.
Knuckled right down, eh?
The semester after I stopped drinking. It's, I think, yeah. You know, for people who might be addicted to something,
yeah.
Once you find the strength or the a way to kind of counter that or get over it, you'll see that the energy you apply to mucking around can be applied to
studies or whatever you put your mind to,
something positive. So I think if you're a strong party animal, you'll make a strong kind of work person as well. So
channel your energies into
something positive. That's it.
Just briefly, Sifa, man, you know, this really caught my attention where you advocated for stricter controls around loan sharks.
Yes.
That's, you know, I hate those kind of people, those kind of businesses, eh?
Yeah. Well, look, the 2008, I joined the Ministry of Consumer Affairs, and at the time, what they call clothing trucks, or, you know, clothing trucks were just coming on the scene. There are already a lot of what we call third tier or loan sharks, third tier lenders. Those are not the banks, and they're not the next level down, but the level after that.
So their interest rates are just worse than the banks?
In New Zealand, there's no cap on interest rates. So, you know, other countries, Japan, America, all these other countries have a cap on interest rates. In New Zealand, you can get a payday loan, which will mean you're paying up to 400% interest on that loan. You know, that's just crazy, considering banks charge, I don't know, 4 or 5%.
Can you break it down for me? So, say for example, I took out a $500 loan. How much will I end up paying for those 30?
Well,
loan sharks.
I'm just going off the top of my head. I think some of them are about 1% a day, which is 365% per annum. So, I don't know, if you borrow 500 1 week $500 1 week, you might be paying back 740 over a month, which works out to a really high, you know, hundreds and hundreds of percent interest rate. And the point is, there should be some sort of cap on how much people can lend, because it's not like these lenders are struggling. Why do we have to support them? And the thing about the lenders that make irresponsible lending decisions, you know, lending to people who can't pay, they can basically go to court and get what they call an attachment order from the court, from the judge, which means that, you know, if someone's got on the benefit and they've gotten a loan that they shouldn't have gotten, but if they can't afford the repayments, what the lender can do is say, well, we'll take a percentage of your benefit off you until that loan is repaid, which might be 10, 20 years.
So
effectively, the New Zealand government or the taxpayer is guaranteeing all these shoddy loans that are being made.
What the hell is going on?
Well, you tell me. What I can say is, you know, the recent change in government, the Honourable Minister Chris Farfoy,
he's Tokelau.
He's Tokelau.
I never met him.
You know,
I haven't met him.
He's come in, and he's come in with a fresh passion to kind of deal to this framework that everyone is dealing with. So he's come in, and straight away they're looking at interest rate caps. They're looking at tightening, you know, the rules around responsible lending, and just the whole raft of changes that I think will make a bit of change. But really, the problem is not third-tier lenders. The problem is people don't make enough money to get by and pay their bills.
So they don't have a choice but to go to these third-tier lenders, eh?
And so over time, I quickly realised, actually, if we got rid of these third-tier lenders, if we got rid of the loan sharks, who would people go to? There's no government agency that helps people, you know. I mean, go to WINS. Try getting help from WINS. You know, there's no... And the charities are always maxed out.
Mm.
So actually, and I hate to say it, but there may be, you know, when you need a bottle of milk and you go get it from the clothing truck, because that's what you can do.
You're going to get ripped off.
You're going to get ripped off, but you're going to feed your kids and you're going to drink some milk.
True,
the real problem. Things cost too much and people don't make enough money. So we can tinker around the edges with, and actually, you know, and the government can waste its money paying for things like accommodation supplements and all these other things that are actually subsidizing employers paying low wages. It's crazy.
So what are you suggesting?
Well, I'm not suggesting anything, but I think, you know, we can't all of a sudden increase people's wages to the right amount because, inflation will take off all sorts of things. But there has to be some way to kind of rebalance things.
Yeah.
You know, so steps like making taxing wealth instead of taxing income makes much more sense.
That's where the gap comes into inequality.
Because we're focusing on income, but actually it's wealth. We could go on for hours on this, man. So you tell me.
Okay, Sifa, you tell me. But you've been, I've been. You've kept me in the loop, even though I'm in Raro, in terms of your community notices, communications. That's been you're really connecting me. I can't speak for the others, but I'm sure they will never have otherwise knowing about that type of information you're putting out there. Yeah. Tell me, how did you come across that?
Communications is it's a weekly newsletter that we produce. We used to produce at East Tamaki Healthcare.
Yes.
But really, the key bits of information is it's really aimed at service providers.
Okay.
So it was really aimed at what community events are happening on the weekend so that service providers can get their stall there and promote awareness around services, because what really happens is a lot of services are funded just enough to provide the service, but they don't have the budget to market themselves effectively. People will sometimes be surprised when they find out, there's a budget service next to the McDonald's. And actually, budget service has always been there, but they just don't have the money to promote themselves.
Oh.
For me, the starting point was I started to get a lot of community contacts, and I quickly realized, man, I don't actually have time to drop in and visit everyone because I didn't want to be the fake friend that only called them up whenever I wanted something.
There's too many.
Too many. So I thought, how can I get in their how can I reach out to them with something practical, useful that they can use? So I thought I'll start up an email database and send out info on where the community events are, what jobs are going that maybe... Yeah. And actually, it started off with 8 ministers because, you always want to... I just wanted to keep the ministers and their churches informed. And then it sort of grew out to a pretty big database.
It's a smart move. You got the ministers and then they got the congregation.
And so the main thing is just giving people what they want to hear. And what people want to hear is where are the free things?
Yeah.
What are the free... Where are the free things going?
Is there a feed?
Is there a feed? Keep it real.
That's our island way. Cut all that. Is there a feed?
Yeah, is there, you know it.
Okay, Steve. Gee, time's just flying. Is there anything else you would like to discuss in terms of what you've been at East Tamaki Healthcare for a long time. And while I was involved in Like Minds for a little short period, I bump into you at certain events, and I watched you. You're like a network hustler, man. You're like, you know how to to meet different people, and I was just watching you, it helped me to learn to network as well. Would you like to share with us your time at East Tamaki Healthcare and some of your achievements that you're really proud of?
The network hustler just takes me back, reminds me of the first time I met you, Mele. It was at it was in Glen Innes. I think it was in the CAB office. It was a tiny little office. And, we're in these community meetings, we do a round-robin introductions.
That's
people
right.
talk about themselves. And then Mele Mele, I hadn't met him before. I think you were there with Mum.
As usual.
Yep. But then the first thing you said, which really struck me was, I don't want to waste my time if we're not here to serve the community, which really struck me.
Shows how raw I was.
It was really raw, and actually I felt a bit bitten. I felt a bit like, he's attacking me.
Even Mum looked at me like,
But you know, no, but it's those keep it real moments that really got to me, and I thought, man, who is this guy kind of speaking truth to power?
Straight off the trucks, eh?
Straight off the trucks, but just, no, but it actually, you know, no, but you got me too, you know, because I was, you know, there's an element of everyone's too smiley and everyone's too, in a, especially as Pacific Māori tangata whenua, we're too ready to support each other and not kind of, you know, ask the direct face, straight questions, that sometimes we don't do the job properly because of that. So I really appreciate that, and it reminds me, you know, and it's something I learnt, it's something else too. You have to ask the uncomfortable questions.
Absolutely.
All the time.
Absolutely.
But you know, East Tamaki Healthcare, I really, really, really appreciated and enjoyed my time with them. I've still got 3 days on the clock. So, but, you know, when I got there, they really said, I asked them, what is the job? What do I do? And they said, we want you to go out there and support our patients. We want our patients to know that we care for them and we love them. And I said, well, how do I do that? And they said, well, you'll find out. I mean, you'll find a way. So for about the first 3 weeks, I was just petrified. Yeah. You know, just I didn't know what to do. Stuck at my desk, petrified, my hands, my face in like a, you know, the Joker's kind of grin. Didn't know what I was doing. And then I got some good advice to attend my first network meeting, and then it just all sort of flowed from them. But the main, you know, just like the communications, like everything else, if you try and take the bigger picture view and not the short term, what can I get out of this? What can my company or organization get? You know, how do I shut other people out of this? If you think like that, you're going to go nowhere and you're not even going to enjoy your job. But if you play the long game and realize, actually, organizations, the companies we work for, they'll come and go. So we should really just work with each other because it's the people, like you said at the beginning, it's the people that count. So if you take that view, you know, not only will you achieve more because you're sharing, but you'll enjoy it too, you know, and you won't get those... you know, you won't get a stone heart where you think, oh, that person didn't help me, so I'm not going to help them, or, oh, they work for this company and oh, they're going to steal my patients. If you think like that...
Is that like the politics side?
That's the politics side. If you think like that, I think you should get straight out because you're not helping anyone.
You know, one thing, I actually, Joseph, before I came into the Light Minds, when I helped out with that, I actually... knew of you, and that was only because a couple of clinics I went to in Flatbush, and also what's that, been away for a couple of years, what's that, and that shop in
Dawson Road,
what's that centre,
yep. Dawson Road, East Tamaki Healthcare, Dawson Road Clinic.
Yeah, but that shopping centre,
Dawson Road,
yeah, I saw a photo of you at that place, eh? And I had a quick read of what it was about, and you were there to present an award to one of the workers or to one of the community people.
Oh.
You know, and I was thinking, man, what's this guy up to? He's right up, you know, he's right there amongst
us. There must
have
been a free lunch or free feed going, bro.
I saw a couple of your photos, and I was like, man, this is it's quite real, you know what I mean?
To be honest, the photo stuff, the sitting at the front and all the formality stuff, I really don't enjoy that part of the community stuff. I'm like you, brother. I like hanging around the sides, hanging around in the kitchen where the food's being made, cooking the food. I hate sitting up front, you know. And I think we go a little bit overboard with all that presentation rubbish, you know, at the beginning of every event we got. And then we have speakers who are already rich and come from the government. Yeah. We give them gifts. Oh, what a waste of time and money.
I don't get that.
I think you know, they don't do that in the islands yet. All of a sudden, it's an island thing. I think we should pull away from all of that ceremony stuff as much as we can because it's just, you know, it puts people in places. You know, it says you're important, you're not, and you're definitely not. And I don't like that. So, yeah, that's just my little rant.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Sifa. I'm going to play us a song to relax. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about Joseph's new role. And that's quite a big thing too for me, being away and coming back, and that's awesome. Okay, I'm going to play this up.
You already know, he didn't really much to look at, but his home used to bust from the old bar, which was the go in the town, rolling through the Odahoo Depot. Think of how we ended up here. Ain't no secret that some people doing tough here. Could be rough here if your parents come here from an island in the hope of a better life for the child and an education. But they ain't got time to keep an eye on them. They working every day, they won't ever see retirement. School don't teach you to deal with this environment. Another poly kid left to his own devices, and you look at what they reinforce. When you talk about us doing crime, playing sports, standing at the dough line, or in the court, thinking don't affect the soul. Look at boys from the south side. If you're looking from the outside, some scared to death when they see us. Cause every 10, 7, 8 feature are boys from the south side. But we represent it with pride. When you feel you come from the bottom, till you reach the top, ain't no stopping the boys from the south side. It's about time. All the people talk shit now, figure out why this town is so influential. The real melting pot, immigration, central culture, and us, we so instrumental. But still, we never acted like we too damn special. Don't ever let nobody say we all just criminals. Round here, it ain't all that simple.
Raised there, struggle city, a place where the population, Henry 5/amazing, where most of them work 9 to 5 to pay rent, go to church, sing songs, and pray for better days, better pay in a better location. The kids choose sport over education, and dream that one day the all blacks take them. Some are exposed to the drugs and the gang life, think it's cool to get involved, end up in a can, right? Got a lot of teens pushing parents before they see life, cause their parents did the same thing, so it seems right. It seemed right to say the same, a product of a proud of a so. When they got my back, like the tat on my torso, that's why I give back, I swear my awards go to the schools in the south side. If you're looking from the outside, some scared to death when they see us, and then talk shit when they leave like the boys from the south side are good for nothing, so fuck them, give them no chance, just cuff them. If it was up to the cops and the judges, the boys from the south side will be outlined, shot on sight. Yeah, we got crime in the area. If you got shine, then it's any up. Only cause we broke trying to get our accounts right. What's going on in our minds? 6 words, how we gonna get by? I don't know exactly, but we ain't gonna wait in no dope line.
Yeah, 267, landed an aeroplane back when my parents came from the islands with a Bible and a pair of J's.
Yeah, chandles.
Trying to set a better way to get an educate. Shunts that we found street smarts and a free pasta to green pastures. Around these parts, we were blessed with a big heart that could see past all the E-asses. Or what you thought I was gonna talk all about, walking with gangs where the drugs be. How about I touch on how David Long here in the country, right where the thugs be. John Walker, my run at the top's long distance. Scott Dixon on the track now. Rather a hand up than a hand down. All my people stand down when I'm back at the south side. Black, white with the brown pride. Even yellow's part of the picture. The boil up's a perfect mixture. Here on the south side. Have you ripped the shit to the death? Walk with my head held high to the sky. My t-shirt say south side till I die. The boys from the south side. The body's outlined with an aura. You can see
it. Welcome back to Delma Radio. Been having a good talanoa with Joseph here. You know, like I was saying at the start, we just don't have enough time to cover a little snapshot of who Joseph is. But Sifa, if we can, if I may, can we touch on this new direction you're heading into?
Mm,
you know, okay. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, look, I might have mentioned I resigned from East Tamaki Healthcare and I start as the interim or caretaker chief executive at Otara Health Charitable Trust next week. Otara Health Charitable Trust, it's a small but perfectly formed trust based in the Otara Town Centre, yes, next to the CAB, between the CAB and the library.
Yes.
They've been around for about 20 years and they really came about. The genesis of the trust was there are a lot of Pacific and Māori families in Otara who were living in overcrowded suburbs.